Hey, everybody, welcome to the See You on the Trail podcast. My name is Hitch, and we are trying out a new podcasting system. And Seth's going to have to get a brand new phone.
Oh, I've already got the screen, different colors.
But we're here with you with a special one. We usually do only one podcast a month, but we decided to go ahead and do two because KOH is coming up. And so that's where we're going to go with it. And hope you guys are enjoying it. I hope you guys are enjoying the last couple episodes. We're trying something new. We're one of the first ones to do a video podcast for the off-road racing scene. So we have headphones on now because I can do cool stuff like this. What in the world? Are you hearing that? Oh, that would be you. Okay.
All right, we're learning.
And I can do cool stuff like this.
Rock crawling click and the desert racing click, and none of them gave a crap about the other in the past.
See, that's pretty cool. I can just press a button and make, what's his name? Lance. That was Lance Clifford.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Lance Clifford like in 2008, and he was doing stuff. So anyway, we're going to try to work it on, getting it better and better, but let's go ahead and start out. Before we get to King of the Hammers, Chili Bowl. We're from Oklahoma, and the Chili Bowl is getting... was pretty hot and heavy this week.
Yeah, it finished up last night, and I counted in the final race, there was 7 Oklahoma drivers in it, along with Kaylee Bryson, which is from, she's from Muskogee, Oklahoma, and last year she was the first female to ever make it into the feature, the A feature on Saturday. And last night, she made it again, and another girl from California. And so the first time ever there was 2 women in the feature race at the Chili Bowl.
Now, for somebody that doesn't know this, what is the Chili Bowl? I know it's in Tulsa, and
so
tell us about it.
The Chili Bowl is a dirt midget race, and dirt midgets, they look like sprint cars, but smaller, and the engine configuration is very unique. It is not unlimited, but they do have a cubic inch maximum, and the engines have to be naturally aspirated, I believe, but anything else goes. So usually they're 4-cylinder engines. I've seen Equitex, Toyota TRD has some type of 4-cylinder engine that a lot of cars run, and then there's a handful of completely custom engines that people are taking blocks and cylinder heads from different things and putting together. There's V8s that are cut in half. like seriously, a small block Chevy, like 350, and they cut one half the engine off and make block off plates and stuff.
Wow.
So they're making, I don't know, 400 horse, and the cars weigh like 900 pounds.
Jeez. Okay, cool. This is something I'm completely oblivious too. I know what the Chili Bowl is, and I know it's pretty big, but yeah, and I can put that up there. But one reason that it did catch our eye this year a little bit more than usual is we always reiterate safety. I don't know if how long you've been following See You on the Trail, but See You on the Trail is very iterate on safety. And something happened at the Chili Bowl. You watched it live. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what happened.
So Wednesday night, Ashton Torgerson, let me verify that's his first name real quick. He started on the pole for his, Sunday night, or Sunday is practice, and just that's all it is just practice. And then every weeknight is a qualifying night, and you're trying to race your way in, had to burp. Your goal is to race your way in to the feature on Saturday. So out of those 5 qualifying nights, 2 cars automatically lock in. And then everybody else that doesn't lock in based on their finishing position have to start in another main sometime on Saturday and race their way in. And it's like, depending on what heat you're in, on average 6 or 7 cars move from one main up to the next one. And they had over 300 entries, and Saturday morning started at They ended up starting at 10 a.m. with an O main. They call it the alphabet soup because there's two races for every letter. So there's two O's, two L's, F's. And so Ashton was on the pole. Great position to start working towards qualifying for Saturday. And a very bad accident happened to where, Ashton Torgerson, to where, let me think of the, I guess, most sensitive way to say it. He was battling for position. And for those of you who don't know about dirt racing, the top of the track gets, it's called a cushion. The loose dirt gets pushed up towards the top. And guys either run the bottom of the track or the top of the track usually. Sometimes you get some guys that will run the middle. But depending on how the car is set up, kind of dictates where you run on the track, top or bottom, or as the track evolves through 30 to 55 laps, traction changes, you know, top and bottom
right.
stuff. So,
and so
he was running up top trying to make a pass, and he was up on the cushion. The car he was racing, battling for position with, pushed up just a little bit. But it wasn't like a car pushed up to block him and pushed him into the wall or anything. But he got up in the cushion, car moved towards the wall and started rolling and got completely ejected out of his car.
And ejected out the top, which in this moment I'll throw in a I'll put in a actual picture, that a screenshot that Seth caught. He's actually literally hanging out the car as it's going upside down. It was a scary deal.
So he's a rookie at the Chili Bowl. This first race he'd ever been in a dirt midget, but he is accomplished in micro sprints, which are similar to a midget, but a little bit different setup and powertrain. And he's sponsored by Rowdy Energy, which is Kyle Busch, NASCAR driver. He's sponsored by his energy drink. So,
he's a legit driver.
Yeah.
He's coming up and coming. So what happened to him after you see this picture, guys? It's crazy. And then after you see the picture, how is he doing now?
So
this was what, Wednesday?
So Wednesday night this happened. And last night at the Chili Bowl, they had him on the stage doing an interview with him in person. He was walking, talking, no broken bones, had a black eye. And does have some brain trauma that they're working through, to where like he's not allowed to look at TV, phones, really think hard, and has to take it easy because he had some brain swelling.
Gotcha.
And he is released to fly home today back to Oregon, where he's from, and hopefully gets to continue his racing career.
Yeah, that's just one thing to, I mean, you said that his dad had talked about what they were going through back in their mind, making sure that they tighten their belts, making mm-hmm. sure. Now, the other thing is, that's one thing that's really crazy with Ultra 4, not crazy, it's correct, is they are very hard on safety. So your FFA, your SFA dates on the belts.
SFI,
you're right. SFI. Your dates on the belts, the belts have to be correct. They have to be in working order.
And there's not just dates. There's also certifications. So you could have a belt that is an SFI, and then it's followed by some numbers. Depending on your sanctioning body, they may require a certification that is different than the belts you have. So just because you have belts that are within a certain date may not be the type of belts that are required, because as things progress, they're moving from this certification to something better because things have evolved. And so if you're behind the ball, you may show up thinking you're fine and everything's good, but you don't have the latest and greatest that they're required.
Yeah. So that's just one thing. We wanted to bring that situation up because you guys are going to King of the Hammers, and well, we're filming this on the 15th of January. And most of you guys are probably going to be leaving in 9 to 10 days.
If not
sooner.
Now. Yeah, because some of the races, like the Desert Challenge stuff, is happening earlier on. The motorcycle stuff's happening earlier on. So depending on what class you're in, you may be already, you know, working your way towards the hammers.
Yep. So make sure, I mean, granted, like I said, I probably won't put this out for about another week, but if you guys are listening to this, make sure you got everything taken care of, because I've seen, I know of, probably three or four race teams. They go through the tech line, and they're scrambling trying to find seat belts or window nets because they're SFI, they're already out of date. Look at your USAC, look at your USAC page, and they'll tell you exactly how it has to be rated.
Mm-hmm. And the rule books, there's requirements on, you know, what has to be covered, what has to have safety devices on them. Even if you're not Ultra 4 listening to this, read your rule book, know what you need to have, look at what other people are doing. Don't be afraid to, if you see something that isn't safe, walk up and have a discussion. Like, don't accuse somebody of like, hey, your stuff's not right. You know, like, just, I mean, sometimes maybe, but like, educate each other. This should be a conversation, not an argument. It should be a discussion. There's more than one way to do things, but there's safe and there's not safe. Fire protection's a big deal. Keeping yourself in the car and contained properly, keeping things in the vehicle from moving around. Like, think about the worst case scenario. Even if you're a trail rig, the worst thing I think you can say is, well, this isn't a race car, I don't need that. There's a reason why race cars have it, and if you can implement it into your trail rig, I would do everything you could to do that, outside of, you know, making it impossible to use your vehicle. But right. Do everything you can to be as safe as you can in any situation.
Yeah, no joke. So let's get over the bad stuff and the important stuff. Let's go ahead and go to Daytona of off-road racing. That's called King of the Hammers.
Crawling click and the Desert Racing click.
It's a new button.
None of them gave a crap about the other in the past.
And it's getting huge. It's getting so big right now.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean,
King of the Hammers is that damn big, man.
I love it.
It's the new podcasting thing. I think it's hilarious. But it used to be a one-day event. And now it's, what are we talking about? The gates open on the 26th of January, and we're not done till the 12th.
Yeah.
Of February. That's the ending of that, because it didn't print out right.
Okay, so yeah, that's 2 weeks, over 2 weeks.
Yep. And you counted 726 entries?
As of right now, on as far as the entry list I am pulling up right now on the King of the Hammers website, 727 entries, and that's all classes, desert, challenge, motorcycles, 4400, every class there is showing 727 entries right now.
That's crazy, because I think, in 2020, I did the interview with Dave Cole, and he had well over 400 teams entered. So now it's at 700 and something. It's ridiculous, man. That's crazy.
I think that's one reason, which is a good thing, while they've moved everything around and spread it out, is you start getting that many teams in that small of an area, you have logistical issues getting people moved in, moved out, all that. Some people that race earlier on in the week don't want to be there. So spreading things out a little bit makes it easier on, I think, teams on not having to be there for so long, and also spreads it out for anybody going to want to see it, so that way they can kind of pick and choose their timeline on being there and seeing exactly what they want to see.
Yeah, let's go ahead and kind of go through. Let's see, the 26th, the gates open. SRT, King of the Motos tech inspection starts. Then they have a riders meeting on the 27th. Let's see, the first race, actually, February 2nd is when the pre-running actually starts for everything.
But everything opens on the 27th to, like, move in.
I take that back. Look at this. Race 1 is on the January 28th, King of the Motos.
Okay, so King of the Motos is 27th, 28th, 29th?
Yep. And they have a race 2 at 9 a.m. So they have two races. I don't know how they're going to do that. There's been a couple times they've had night races, and then they've had two sections of races. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to go
with it. Yeah, they split it up in, instead of doing loops, they have two completely different courses.
Cool. All right. And then on the 2nd, for all 4,400 guys, which includes Toyo Desert Challenge, and the rest of everybody else that's going to race, that's the pre-running opens. So I'm assuming the course will be released on the 1st or the 2nd.
Okay. I know that the desert section of the course is going to be run in the opposite direction of, so that same part of the course would be in the Ultra 4 races, but they're going to run them in opposite directions.
Right, because they want to try to
make it a little bit smoother. Yep. For after the racing is done.
Correct. Yeah, they're trying to basically cancel out each other on the
go one way, get all the ruts and everything built, and then ideally going the other way will help try to level off the steep humps on the whoops and kind of fill stuff back in, I guess, in theory.
Gotcha. So the race one for Toyo Desert Challenge will be on February 5th at 8 a.m. Am I reading that right?
No.
Oh, the prologue. All right. Prologue is on the 4th.
And looks like a crew challenge.
And class 11.
Yeah, and the class 11. So that's on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, that'd be on Saturday. Now, the class 11s, man, those things are fun.
I really want to race one. Like, I think Mid-America should try to implement that in, like, their monthly side-by-side series.
I don't see that that's a problem. Hey, Jason Robinette.
Let's get some class 11s running here in Oklahoma.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Lauren Healy run a class 11.
I thought, did he not? Because I know the first year they did that, there was a bunch of people from Ultra 4 that bought into cars and were racing them.
I don't know if Lauren did it or not. I know that Brian Crofts did.
Yeah, Brian Crofts. Did Levi, Shirley?
I don't remember, to be honest. I guess I should have done more of my research. But yeah, that's...
Definitely learning what type of research we need to do.
Yeah, no joke. This is a learning curve for all of us. The 1400 and 1450 rush Terra crew. Do you know what that means?
That is a buggy class, I think.
A what?
Buggy.
A buggy class. Okay.
Class 1400.
Okay.
Did you say 1400?
Yeah, 1400 and 1450. So, man, we're...
Oh, I think that's like a pre-runner class, maybe.
Okay, that would be cool.
Questions about class 1400.
we're learning. We're trying to figure this all out, guys. Because one thing we don't do is we don't talk throughout the week, for the simple fact is we want to have something to talk about while we're here.
Yeah, so, we'll say, hey...
Let's do a podcast. Okay, cool. See you then.
Look into this a little bit. Have some ideas on this, and then... So, class 1400, difference between 1400 and an unlimited trophy trick. I'm on Race Desert right now.
I got you. Well, I'll keep going through the series while you're looking at this. I mean, and then through the dates, excuse me. February 5th, race one for Toyo Desert Challenge, which is the trophy trucks, whatever you want to call them. Technically, we're not supposed to call them that, but anyway. And then race two happens on the 5th as well. And then there's a driver's meeting for everybody else.
Okay, so, yeah, I think this the class that was, like, top dog before trophy trucks came in.
Okay,
like,
I gotcha.
A highly modified production truck. So what a lot of people would look at and call a pre-runner now.
I gotcha. Cool. Then, so that's what you guys, there's a race there. That'd be the first year for that kind of race.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Well, I know there's a lot of the desert classes that have shown interest in coming to King of the Hammers to run and have showed up, unlike some of the other desert classes.
Yeah, and if you go back and, guys, go look at the pre-show with,
Dave Cole and...
was that Fish?
Fishgistics.
Yeah. Yep. Go back and look at that and see, tell us what your thoughts are on Dave's comments.
Well, and I mean, it does make sense. There's a... And this is not to dog anybody. Like, you do you. If you have the means to do it, go do it. Do it safely, you know. But if you want to spend a bunch of money and go and race because you can, do it. But there are some people that are better at it than others. And there are maybe some people that don't want to be seen as maybe not as good as what they tell their friends or something. I don't know. It's kind of what
yeah,
I took.
Yeah,
and
I took out of it as well.
And but the way I see it is, man, if you've got the means to do it, just go do it. Who cares what anybody else thinks? If you finish last, you were still there doing something that a lot of other people wish they could do. So just go stink and do it.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say about that.
No, I agree with it. I think it's funny. Dave Coles basically said they didn't want to. You don't want to be on video because you don't want to see people lose. So it's actually kind of funny. Then the next day on the 6th, they have qualifying for Can-Am for the UTV Hammers. So I always find this funny whenever I see that UTVs have grown up as big as they have, because I remember somebody calling me and asking me and saying, hey, do you think Dave would let us race side by sides? And so I said, well, let me send him a text. I sent him a text and he goes, if golf carts want to enter, if there's enough of them, sure, we'll do it.
Well, and at that time they were definitely smaller than they are now. They were more narrow, not as much travel, a lot smaller tires. Those cars are now running like, I think, 37s.
Oh, it's stupid. But now, so they've got the UTV Hammers Championship, which Power Hour, which is basically just the top guys qualifying.
Yep.
And then Great American Short Course, which is another one of Dave's.
Yeah, he's partnered with the people that run that, and so they're on the short course at Hammertown. I think is going to be a little bit bigger than usual, or maybe more. Like, it's got more stuff, maybe.
Speaking of Hammertown, have you seen the live feed of them building it?
No, I have not this year. I've seen a lot of pictures that have been posted of them trenching and marking and putting stuff up, but I haven't looked at the live feed.
There's a live feed that sits on top of what I call King Shocks Hill, the big hill out there in the middle of the qualifying.
Yeah.
And there's a live feed camera that's on 24/7.
Okay.
So you can see how everything gets built. It's actually pretty impressive. But Everyman Challenge is the next day on the 7th qualifying. And then the Power Hour, of course, at 2 p.m. Now, all this is going to be available on King of the Hammers YouTube channel, kingofthehammers.com. I'm sure they'll have a link there.
It'll probably be shared on, I would think, shared on the Ultra 4 too.
Oh, yeah. Ultra 4 USA and everything. It'll be shared there. And then on the 7th, which I believe would be Tuesday. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tuesday, the Holly EFI backdoor shootout. So they're coming back to backdoor.
And I will probably be at a watch party, sitting around some rock buggies, drinking a cold beer, watching that live.
I probably need an invite to that.
You're invited.
Okay. Then I got that. Maybe we'll be there for that.
Maybe we can take some video of it too.
Hey, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Next day, Wednesday, Can-Am UTV Championship, Tech and Contingency, and then they're going to do King of the Hammers. Does it say that right? Yep. Race King of Kings, 4,400, Tech and Contingency. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not Tech and... It's qualifying.
Yep.
They're going to run qualifying on Wednesday, which is normal, and then they're going to have a youth 170 race as well.
I know where a couple of those are sitting, and Jay has them, and I've been, for the past year, trying to get the money together to buy at least one of them to get my youngest racing.
Get Sage going on it?
Yes.
Nice. That'd be cool. Then the race on Thursday for Can-Ams. So the race starts at 8 a.m. on Thursday for the UTVs. And then Everyman Challenge, Tech and Contingency, Can-Am, and UTV Hammers, that ends at 6 p.m. So they only have from 8 to 6 to finish their race.
Yeah. Well, because they don't do as long of a race, just like EMC isn't as long, so they don't give them as much time.
And in fact, I'm looking at it, the next day is Everyman Challenge, which will include 48, 46, 45. They run from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday. And then Tech and Contingency still goes on for the 4,400 guys.
No, 4,900, 46, 40. And 45. There is no 47 anymore because that was spec, right?
47 was spec, but I was saying 45, 46. 45, 46, and 48.
4,900 is... UTV. Oh, 4,900. Yeah, sorry,
yeah,
40, correct.
Yeah, 4,900 is UTV.
Forgive me.
No, you're good. But they run from 8 to 6, every man challenge, and then race day Saturday on the 11th.
Oh, there's also supposed to be a couple, at least one EV car that's supposed to be there that'll probably race during EMC also.
Okay. Who is that? Is that Kyle Sutherland?
I don't think it's that one. Somebody else might be running it, so there might be two. I thought I saw that he himself wasn't going to be there this year, but I did see another car that was being built. I cannot recall what it was or who it is exactly, but I believe there's going to be two there.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. Kyle was the one that started that whole mess, mm-hmm. And I saw that car. You know how hard it is to change those battery packs out? They weighed like 400 pounds.
Yes, and he had three, I think, or two. One was bigger than the other.
Yeah, they rebuilt it. I saw it at Dave's house a couple of years ago, and it was just stupid.
It's his son's old, original IFS car, IFS Toyota truck.
Right. Well, the funny thing is, you know what that car was used for before Kyle bought it?
What?
To pump water out of the well for the, they would attach it with a drive shaft. To the well at KOH to get the water to be able to sand it, to water everything down.
Oh, to fill up the water truck and stuff?
Yeah, to fill up the water truck.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know they had a well out there, so okay.
Yeah, they've got a couple wells out there. But now he's got that compound out there, yeah. Which is awesome. So, but the 11th, big day, race day. It runs, they get an extra time to run this because it's a longer race, of course. It starts at 8 a.m. and it ends at 10 p.m. Now, the question is, how many people do you think will finish first?
Numbers, I don't know. Percentage, I'll go off percentage. Was it last year? Was I a little bit higher percentage than usual? Mm-hmm. And usually that means the following year, Dave's going to try to make it to where that doesn't happen again. So I'm going to say
20%. 20% finish rate. That's usually pretty average, and I'm going to call it out and say that there's probably going to be 28 cars finish the 4,400 race.
Okay.
I mean.
King of the Hammers is that damn big, man.
It's big, man.
It's that damn big. And then, I mean, you guys, yeah, Dave has been out there at the Hammers. He lives out there now. He is crazy about it, and he brags on himself a little bit. I mean,
talks about having the hardest race. They race around the mountains. We race through them.
That's very true. And I'm using my little buttons. I think it's so cool. All right, Seth, we've already gone through the schedule and everything else, but first we need to take a minute and talk about some of the people that take care of us and some of the people that we're trying to get to take care of us.
Yeah, we want to take care of us. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to take care of us. First one that already has is Custom Splice.
Thank you, Todd.
Yes, Todd Stauffer with Custom Splice. Guys, if you have anything that you need for recovery, go talk to him.
Winch accessories.
One of his vendors is Warn Winch. He can hook you up with Warn Winch stuff.
Factor 55. He even makes some products similar to Factor 55 also, but he sells his stuff and their stuff. You know?
Yes. Yeah, he's very well known amongst the community. Take care of him. Guys, just go to CustomSplice.com. If you have any problems, you can send him a message on Facebook. He'll get right back with you. Facebook, Instagram, all that mess. Now, the people that we would love to have come on board with us is these people right here. Territory Whiskey. Guys, this is a pecan cinnamon whiskey liqueur. First time I gave it to you, what'd you think of it?
It was awesome. And there's a voice quote you need to put on your board.
Yeah, I probably need to do it.
You're a pecan whiskey.
King of the Hammers is that damn big, man.
You need to put that on there.
You're a pecan whiskey.
my cousin still laughs about that.
Oh, it's still fun. But we always take a mandatory shot, mandatory
cheers.
Drink. Cheers. It's smooth.
Yeah, it's smooth. It's not harsh. It's got good flavor. It's not too sweet.
Now they're based out of where did it say? They're based out of Florida. Hollywood, Florida is where they're based out of. But it's good stuff, man. That's why we're trying to get them to come on board with us. That's why I wear that hat every time. So and then on top of that, I mean, the other guy that we really want to come on the podcast is a guy that I kind of looked up to for a long time, but he's given me a hard time about this. About 2012, I lost all my equipment, not podcasting equipment, no, like filming equipment that I was filming at races. So he was very nice and gave me a GoPro that he had, and he goes, I got other GoPros now, and you can just use this. And so...
Why is it sticky?
I don't know why it's sticky. So, but yeah, this is the Hero GoPro that Lauren Healy gave me. Two-time winner at KOH. I've asked him to sign it, and he refuses.
This is an original Hero, like Hero 1.
Yeah,
like,
this is... it's a big deal. It's been around for a while. Like you said, it's sticky. It's been sitting on my shelf for years.
Yeah.
And I would like to have him sign it. And in fact, my girlfriend, we were in Disney at Nationals, and my girlfriend went up there and said, hey, I got a GoPro for you to sign. And he like all of a sudden started looking around, looking for me. And then he found me and he's like, nope, not signing it at all. So guess what, Lauren? This is for you. When you get on my podcast, then you're going to sign this and then we're going to give it away.
Yeah.
I think
we need you to sign it so we can give it away to somebody.
Yeah, I think that would work out great. And then, I mean, we've got another little thing here. This is this little story. Everybody that I come in contact with, I try to take something away. And whether they know it or not. This right here is actually it's a piece of the left front of Derek West's car. He cased a jump on the last lap at Ram Off-Road Park in Dirt Riot in 2013.
Looks like something off the truss.
I don't know exactly where it came from, but I saw it and I grabbed it and I picked it up and threw it in my bag. If you go to my Instagram, you can see the pictures of it. I have Brad Lovell's rear bumper upstairs there. And then over here I have Mick Henson's 4681 nameplate. So whenever I get stuff, I love.
He's got
just
Tiger King signature on a Seth Wadley hat.
Oh yeah, the Seth Wadley Tiger King. Yeah, well, I'm from Oklahoma. I'm a 20 minutes south.
It's actually Seth Wadley, but he was telling me earlier. Everybody thinks it's Tiger King on there.
So no,
maybe we could get him on the podcast and like, hey, what do you know about racing?
We'd have to do that through.
All I know is that damn Carol Baskin. She would have won it.
Yeah, no, she. No, we'd have to do that through Zoom, and I don't want to do Zoom. I want to do real in-person podcasts. So
I want to build a bouncer and name it Carol Baskin.
Okay.
I'm going to go beat that bitch.
Okay, we can do that. So anyway, yeah, guys, whenever I get somebody on a podcast, that's exactly what I do is I ask them to bring something that's fun. That I can add to my collection back here. I can get rid of some of my drilling equipment and that kind of stuff.
Well, I guess I got to bring something of mine since I've been on here.
You do. You do. You haven't done that.
I think
that
I got
yet.
Some holy underwear, my church underwear I'll bring and we hang up or something.
That'd be good. So now let's go ahead and get down to this the nitty-gritty of King of the Hammers. Let's go ahead and start out with 4,600. I mean, you're kind of looking at the numbers right now.
Yeah, and forgive us.
Yeah, the website, it is not. Dave Cole was supposed to send me a spreadsheet. He said he would, and he didn't do it. So I'm sure he's busy right now. So no qualms to him.
Yeah, I know he's got pool tournaments going on with Miles. you know, they're trail riding, you know, having a great time. They're so busy.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of roll through who we're going to think, who's going to be 1, 2, and 3 in 4,900, 4,500, 4,600, 4,800, and finally 4,800.
You got some pen and paper?
Yeah, go grab some. Yeah, we got to get some pen and paper.
I've got this set up to 100 names per page, and there's 8 pages, and it's not organized by class or anything. So yeah. I figured as we're talking, I can... scroll through and jot down names I think are worth talking about.
Good deal. I mean, just overall, 4,400, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to say a UFO car of some sort. If the bugs are worked out for Levi Shirley, he's a contender. I know Shannon Campbell's building a new car. Hopefully it'll be done.
Shannon's building a new car. I guess I didn't
see that. His engine was in
Waylon's car
at Nationals that. Because it wasn't worth the struggle of getting an engine put back together. And he's building an entirely new car.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
That's why he only ran the side-by-side at Nationals, because he wasn't in the running for 4,400 for points or anything. So he's focusing on the side-by-side because he's had already started tearing the car apart from what I understood anyways.
Well, that's actually a new thing. I didn't know he was building a new car. That's awesome. No, Brian Crofts is up there.
Yeah, and Bailey they've been searching for an engine. I don't know if they've got the engine yet or not, but I know a couple weeks ago they were searching for a tall deck LS engine, and a lot of people on Facebook were giving them ideas and giving them options. So hopefully they have found an engine. I'm assuming it was for her car. I'm pretty sure it was the same car, the two-seater she's been running. But for some reason, they needed an engine, and so I hope they find one. And she's always a contender, too.
No, believe it or not, I would think it would be awesome if we had a queen of the hammers.
Oh, it would be epic.
Yeah, no. So we've got Bailey in there, Brian Crofts. We've got... Lauren Healy's always a contender. Shannon Campbell's always a contender. We've got, Paul Horschel with a IFS IRS four-wheel steer buggy.
And it's a computer-controlled steering system.
Oh, wow, something I didn't know.
Yeah,
what's the story on that?
The way I understood it, because they did a video unveiling of it, is the faster the vehicle goes, the less steering input goes automatically to the rear. The slower it goes, the rear automatically steers with the front. The faster it goes, there's a speed sensor or something, and it slows down the amount of rear steer it puts in, because you don't want to be going 100 miles an hour across some whoops or the dry lake bed and go make a small correction and the car starts crab walking on you or something, you know. And I would assume there's got to be a switch on there to make it steer opposite or the same or something. I don't know all those ins and outs, but I do, from what I do understand, it is computer controlled, where he doesn't have to use a separate joystick or switch to activate the rear.
Wow. Okay.
Which is nuts.
I watched Heavy Metal Concepts put out a video last night, and it's all of the origins, the origins videos that he's put out before. And I watched it, and I was trying to tell my girlfriend what the difference is between IFS, IRS, straight axle, and everything. And then I all of a sudden realized Paul Horschel's car is IFS, IRS, and Portal.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And computer controlled steering.
And you just added something else to my brain that made me blow up. But yeah, so I walked at that and I was like, wow, this is crazy. So
Paul Wolf.
Yeah.
Which, that's why I said a UFO car, because there's not, as far as I know, there's not anybody that is in a UFO car that isn't capable of winning or has the budget to put the parts into it that needs to be there. Gomez Brothers, Paul Wolf. I know that
Bergman is one that has.
Yes, he's
UFO.
In one now. And I hope he runs. Everybody that's in a UFO car is capable, and it would be kind of, because the UFO car won last year. It'd be cool to see a back to back.
Yeah, no, it would. It'd also be awesome to see a freaking straight axle car win again.
Yes. again.
I'd love to see a straight axle car, which we know who we're talking about here, either Blyler or Eric Miller.
You're forgetting one.
What now? I can't hear.
Bomber.
Oh, another bomber car. Yeah.
Another one. There's only been how many bomber cars have won, or how many drivers in a bomber car have won?
Three.
It's won three times, but with one driver.
Oh, Randy Slauson.
Yeah.
You made me say the name. I didn't want to say that name.
He's got a new engine going in it, new transmission. Everything's been gone through. But it's the same chassis that he ran last year, it looks like. Same car.
Yeah, well, you know who owns a bomber car now, too.
Who?
Dave Cole.
Does he have one of the truck cars? Is that what was in those videos of him pre-running and stuff? With no firewall or anything?
Yeah, that's good old him and Miles are out there in a bomber car. Yes, they...
Hey, you want a solid axle car to win?
Randy Slauson or Bomber Fab or Eric Miller. Those are the two solid axle cars that I'm going to call it. And IFS cars, I'm going to call it a Jimmy's car, and maybe a Campbell car. I don't know. It's crazy. You don't understand that there's so many factors it's a good driver.
There's luck of the draw of not luck of the draw of drawing something, but luck of the draw of you being on the course at the right time for qualifying, being on the course, this part of the course at the right time to miss this bottleneck or this car that's slowing you down. Like there's so many instances where, if this didn't go exactly how it happened, this car would or would not have won.
We'll see if I press the right button.
There's hundreds of things in an off-road race that can get you. There's thousands of things here at King of the Hammers that can get you. Big difference.
Yeah, that's Rob McCracken right there. Rob Mack is telling you point blank, there's thousands of things that'll get you.
And all of those most of those things are out of your control.
Yep. No, that's crazy. So let's go with, are you able to catch any of them that you think...
So
like 4,600. We're already going with 4,400.
So far, there's a lot of the desert stuff at the top and the moto stuff. I did see a Deegan for a King of the Motos, and I don't know if that's related to Brian Deegan.
It is related to Brian. What's the name on it?
Well, now I got to find it again.
Is that Hayden?
No, it wasn't that. It was a different Deegan.
I mean, I'm sure it's not Haley. Haley's
okay. In the meantime, though, for the K&Ms, for the UTVs,
4,900. Yeah,
the Greaves are back. CJ Greaves and Johnny Greaves—they're a force to be reckoned with in anything they're in. And I think it is a matter of time until one of them podium, if not win, the UTV stuff at the Hammers.
Johnny and CJ, they're badass.
And I believe they're in Polaris now. I want to say they were with the Yamaha.
I mean,
the sequential shift. I think that was the Yamaha. But I believe that they're with a different manufacturer now.
I mean, what about Mitch Guthrie?
Yeah,
Mitch just took. I believe he took podium at Dakar. I think.
Okay. Which, if he did, he's one of the few Americans that's ever accomplished that.
Yeah, he just took that car, I think. So, but there was 13 stages of that. I know he lost two stages. I'm not sure.
And that's actually back in Africa and Europe now. It's not in South America,
right?
Like it was.
Correct.
Klug Deegan.
I don't. Guys, comment. Tell
us who Klug Deegan is. Klug, Kloog Deegan, related to.
Brian
Deegan and
Haley and Hayden
I was going to say Haley, but I was like, no, that's not right. But no, it's right. Last year I bought Anna, my wife, a Haley Deegan shirt for just out of nowhere.
Haley's cool. Haley's doing well on YouTube. That's how I know a lot about it. And Hayden's trying to do stuff. Brian's trying to do stuff, but.
So yeah, both Greaves are in K&M Open UTV, 4,900 K&M Open.
Gotcha. I wonder if that's like Clune Jenkins. You know who Clune Jenkins is?
No.
That would be Adam Shearer. That's his...
Is that his alter ego?
That's his alter ego. And sometimes he posts up some dumb stuff, which is actually pretty funny.
I might have to do that too. Yeah. Mitch Guthrie, K&M Open.
Okay. Mitch.
Yeah.
Look at... see if you can see any 4,500 guys.
Okay.
Because that's where we got Cody St. Clair, Dwayne Garrison.
Garrison,
yes. Who else we got in that mess in 4,500? Chris Ray's, Dawson Allington.
Okay, yes.
Dawson's one that had a brain tumor and raced in the 4,600 class, and then he bought...
the three-time national championship winning and two-time podium aluminum Jeep from Tribe.
Yep. He bought Matt. He bought Matt,
and
Matt's car.
He's only ran it a handful of times since he bought it, I believe.
Correct. Yeah, he bought it, ran it at Hammers and Roll. Or no, he bought it, ran it at Nationals at Crossbar, and rolled it, and then he got into it at Hammers one time, and then so next is...
Did he have some more health issues that popped up or something?
No, he's actually been doing really good as far as I know, at least from his socials. I haven't talked to him personally.
So Casey Curry, the car he runs, he calls it the Trophy Jeep, but I believe it is originally... one of the first IFS Jimmy's cars that it was yellow. What's his face ran?
Nick Nelson.
Yeah,
that
Nick
is Nick Nelson's original car.
It looks so different now. Like, it's got a completely different back end on it, all new different bodywork. But originally, that Trophy Jeep is a IFS Jimmy's car that was yellow with a Volkswagen hood on it.
Yes. In fact, if you go to my YouTube and look it up, you can see the first Hammers that it was at. And you can also go to my YouTube and see whenever he sold it.
Saw it at the PRP seats booth at KOH for sale, and it had been, you could tell it had been ran pretty ragged.
Yeah. No, the last run that it had was at Vegas Motor Speedway in 2016, I want to say 16 or 17 at Vegas Motor Speedway, and he gave people rides in it, and that was the last time that it was ever ran by him.
Okay.
By Nick, and then he sold it to Casey Curry. They kept it under wraps for a couple years, and then all of a sudden it popped up as the Magpul car.
Yeah, a Magpul with a Jeep body on it.
Yep.
It looks like it's a longer wheelbase. It sits completely different. Everything is different on it.
Yep. No, it's completely different now, but it's the same chassis. It is a Jimmy's IFS chassis, which is comparable to Andrew it was Andrew McLaughlin's car, but now it's the guys that own, the shock all-in-one, the all-in-one shock.
I don't know. It looks like you're jacking off a horse over there.
Yeah, I know. I'm not really sure.
All in one. Metal cloak? All in one shock.
No, not metal cloak.
What do you mean all in one shock?
The guys from Point One are using it.
Oh, ORI.
ORI. The guys, Jensen Brothers, is who they are. The Jensen Brothers own that car now. That was one of the original IFS cars that Jimmy's ever came out with.
Yeah. Nick Nelson had one of the first. Yeah.
He had one of the first. And then Andrew McLaughlin had it. And then he sold it to the Jensen Brothers. And then the third IFS car that ever came out of Jimmy's was Lauren's. And I don't know what happened to Lauren Healy's first IFS
car. The one before the Red Dragon.
Yes. Yep. Way before the Red Dragon. Yeah. I don't know what happened to that one. I don't, because he ran at the Phoenix Congress Arizona race. He was running that, and he only went like 3 miles and busted an A-arm off. But Andrew made his work a lot better. So I don't know what happened.
Still going through trying to find a 4,500. I don't think I've seen one yet.
Oh, it's it, Yeah, it's dumb trying to figure this out. Dave Cole, please fix it. Fix it to where we can look at 4,500, 4,600, 4,800, 4,900.
Yeah, we can break it down by class.
Break it down by class.
Hold
that's
on.
All we ask.
If I press this button, does it do that for me? Okay, I just did it.
Oh, you figured it out?
Yeah.
So you can do it.
So it's got different columns. Uh-huh. If you press that, it'll put a column in order.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Dave. You did it quick.
Okay, so, all right, so here we go. Let's do this now. So now I can do it that way. So it's going to start at 170s. Let's see if anybody we recognize through 170s. So we got last names here. Atterbury, Mason Atterbury in a 170.
Would that be related to?
What? He's a Ultra 4 racer, right?
Atterbury.
I know the name. I know the last name. I can't think of the first name.
I think you're thinking of, gosh, never mind.
Just okay, moving on. All right, 4,400. Paul Wolf, you're registered 3 times in the 4,400, just so you know.
So you got to race 3 different cars
yes.
at the same time.
No, you got to race 3 cars with the same number.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all the same number in 4,400. One thing I've noticed about myself whenever I read stuff, I find the grammatical errors.
The little doesn't really make a difference, but yeah.
It's like that. Chase Caprera.
Chase will be one to watch.
Is he in a... What's he running now? Because the Caprera's were in, at one point, a Campbell car.
Yeah, they were in a Campbell car.
Are they in a UFO now?
I believe it's both. I believe
Chase is in the Shannon, the Campbell car, and the dad is in the UFO.
Yes, okay. I believe so. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's comments, guys. You guys can comment.
Yeah, I do not take offense to it. I know that some of the stuff I say is going to be wrong. I'm not saying nothing we say is official.
Yeah. Like, let's go back to Miles. I need to put that on here. It's a completely unofficial.
There was even on the Rock Sports Insider page, somebody was talking about, they missed that other podcast that isn't around anymore.
Oh yeah.
And
don't talk about that.
You have different relationship with him than I ever did, which I was friendly with him, met him a couple times, but that's kind of the extent of my dealings with him. But someone said that they missed it. And then one of the comments was, well, there's like this podcast. And they listed the Pit Guys and us and another one. And, I don't think most people know me by like on Facebook, like my name, my picture and associating me with being on this podcast. But Mitch Henson, who we just did an episode with.
Mick. Don't call him Mitch. He's going to get upset.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll take his tailgate back. So he commented something, saying, I forget exactly what he said, but my only reply, and it was to him. I replied to him, but it was to some of the other people complaining that there wasn't a good podcast day anymore. That, hey, we're learning. We're trying to get better. Not professionals. I didn't go to any broadcasting or school or anything like that. I have a mouth on me, and I enjoy this, and so I'm doing what I can with it.
No, it works out great. It's fine.
Von Gitten, of course. Von Gitten and Lauren, both cars out of that camp are capable of winning.
They got a big camp too.
Is Brian McVay still in a WFO car? The IFSW?
Yes, I believe so. I haven't talked to him in a while, but Brian McVay is in.
Wide Open Design, sorry.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Waylon Campbell.
Waylon's a contender. Mm-hmm. Bailey's a contender. Shannon's a contender.
A Campbell car is a contender, regardless.
Yep. Well, it depends on who's behind the wheel.
Well, that's why I said the car is a contender. Tom Ways is registered again. Man, I would love... That guy's cool. He is very understated. He's a badass. I would love to see him get a little bit more luck than he's had.
I'll agree with that. And I'll tell you what, in 2000, was it 20? I was at the compound, and Tom Waits was there. And I said, man, I want to hear the bear story.
Okay.
And he told it to me. And it was the greatest thing ever. He literally stuck a knife in a bear. It was awesome. But then I asked him, I said, hey, what happened with your race? I heard you wrecked pretty hard. And he got about midway through the story of how he wrecked. And I asked him questions. And I mean, in my mind, I'm going, what the hell does he mean? And I asked him, and he's like, stop. He goes, I'll tell you, but you've got to give me a little bit of time to tell the whole story, and then we can go back. And he almost got mad at me. And I was like, just chill out, dude. And he's like, just chill out. I'll tell you the whole story. So I heard the whole story of how he wrecked, because that was the year that he went like 7 or 8 times over.
Okay.
Basically totaled his car. So, but anyway, Tom and his girlfriend, they were great people. We had a great time. There's pictures on my Instagram of me hearing the whole bear story. That's hilarious.
I actually got to meet him in Kentucky at Dirty Turtle.
Gotcha.
And it was only him and another guy, and he still had the hippie killer car, the Tomahawk, the original Tribe IFS car that
Jason used to own.
Yep. And it was just him and another guy there, and the shock setup was different than a lot of people, because he's ran with, he had with Icon for years, and each shock had 2 hoses off of it to go into the reservoir. Before I saw Fox doing it, Fox may have already had it, but I didn't see Fox, like, I didn't see shocks in person until that point that had 2 hoses going to the reservoir. And so it had a supply and a return from the reservoir instead of just 1 hose doing both. And they were working on it. I walked up and was just, you know, shooting the shit with them. And it was, you know, very easygoing. Wasn't an asshole. We discussed some different things, just ideas. And what about this? What about that? You know, that was impressive, because he is, in my eyes, one of those guys that is kind of otherworldly in Ultra 4 because of his persona that, and I think it's more what other people say about him. Like, you know, he does his crazy stuff in Alaska with helicopters and planes and skiing and all that. And you hear these like bear stories, and you walk up and he's just like, yeah, hey, what's up? You know, you want a beer? No, I'm good. You know?
Yeah, no, that's one thing that you can point out in Ultra 4. There are very, very few people that you don't want to deal with.
Unless you want them to sound a GoPro.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's still friends with me. He just won't sign the damn GoPro.
Maybe if we take the GoPro out of the case and just get him to sign the case.
That might be. Well, I just don't have to be around. It needs to be like a 5-year-old kid walking up like, hey.
Okay, Lauren Haley, do not look at my Facebook and see what my kids look like, because I do not want you to break their heart when you won't sign it for them.
No, and I'll tell you, I've been in the industry since 2012, and there is only maybe 3 or 4 guys that I can say are dicks in the industry. The rest of them, you can walk in, you can hang out with them. They don't care. They're good friends. So that, and that's the way I think about them all. But that's why I love Ultra 4. That's why I love it. So who else we got?
So caveat, or not, back to something we were talking off camera, Webster. We were talking about an old rock crawler guy and some safety stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Webster, that was the last name.
Webster.
They were sponsored by Red Bull. Cody.
No, it's not Cody. I know who you're talking about.
It was
about
him and his wife, and then
guys, comment on it, because there's it's Webster.
He was,
what the heck is his name?
Big on Pirate 4x4. Always talked a lot
Red
about
Bull
safety.
Rocker.
Yes, and they had a S10 bodied solid axle rock crawler, and then they had another rig, and I think they both had S10 bodies, and one was the rocker and one was the rocker,
yeah.
And his wife drove that.
Webster. Yeah, Webster is the name. You are correct.
I saw Webster on here, and it clicked.
I can't figure out who that was, but yeah, no, and I'll tell you what, all the old school pirate guys will know exactly, and they're going to...
Here's another old school pirate guy, Kevin Yoder.
Kevin Yoder is in?
Again, yeah. Has he missed a year?
I don't think he ever has.
And please, once again, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that buggy he built in his barn.
Yes, he did.
And he's run pit bull rockers on it the whole time. And I know those tires get a lot of tires get hate. I've always liked the pit bull tires.
Yeah, he was one of the first sponsored guys.
Yeah, one of the only people that's ever ran those tires in off-road racing. Mm-hmm. And definitely an underdog. And I would love to see him come out and finish. If you don't know, finishing King of the Hammers is a feat in itself.
Well, 80% of the field does not finish.
Yeah. Yeah, on average, 3/4 of the field, if not more, don't finish.
Right.
What is the finishing rate on the Baja 1000? About similar?
I don't know. That's a good question. We can look that up, though.
Yeah, look that up real quick. So you look at Daytona 500, finishing rate on that probably... 90%.
Yeah.
You look at a lot of races and you want to see how difficult it is, look at the finishing rate. In my opinion, that dictates how difficult it is.
Of the Baja 1000. There we go.
56%, and that's all classes.
Yep.
So I would say, now this is not saying that the Baja 1000 or any of those races are not difficult. But the fact that this is a race, King of the Hammers is a race with a lower percentage finishing rate.
Let's see here. Let's check this.
See if
the King of the Hammers.
See if Lugal has anything on there. It's a little Hot Tub Time Machine reference.
That's an awesome movie.
Yeah. Probably Lugal and Motley Lou.
Lugal. No, it didn't. Google doesn't have that for us.
All right. Well, if it's not actually out there, if somebody...
It's probably it's a 20% ratio.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, I would like to see, all right, you take total entries, like average entries through every year, and then finishing rate for every year, and then do an average of all the years so far and see what the total average finishing rate is. That would be something to know, because the number I would want to know, like, through how many years is this now? 15 years?
It started in 2008. So, 2007. 2007.
Yeah, that was
grown,
when I graduated high school.
But they've grown like.
True. But I would go back to then to now for specifically the 4400 cars and want to know. Through every year what the total average finishing rate is, and it's below 25%.
Yeah, it is. It's a 20 to 25% finish ratio, which is it's ridiculous. This is the hardest one-day race in the world.
Yes, there are many, many difficult races, but this is one day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of prep up to it, but the actual race is one day. This is the most difficult, hardest race that takes place in one day. Like, you could not take one of these cars to Dakar and run it.
No, you can't, because they won't make it.
Yeah. Because it's 2 weeks long or whatever.
Yeah, and,
you know?
And on top of that, they're able to prep the race cars
in between stages.
In between
and all that.
Stages. There's 15 stages, I believe is what it is with that car. Mm-hmm. So they're able to prep and redo, but you don't have that. And it's a no chase race.
Yeah, you don't so that's one of the reasons why I would say Baja 1000 has a higher finishing rate is the pit crews can follow them and meet them anywhere on the course, whether pre-planned or a car breaks down, and then they come to you and get it back going and get help from anybody. Here, If a spectator comes and helps you out,
you're out.
You're out. Whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember one of the big things that I remember from being a no chase race was was the one that Shannon Campbell blew a transmission in 2010, and he replaced transmission.
3 years where every year he blew a transmission.
Yeah. But he blew a transmission, he replaced it, but he got towed back from somebody else. And then he went back on course and still finished like...
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah, he got towed to the pits.
Yep,
the main pits. Swapped the transmission, went back on course, and
still ended up in the top 10?
Something like
that. I
want
to say.
But it was that one little thing. Or I say little. It's a big thing, but that one thing took him out.
But yeah, so anyway, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up right now because we're pretty much done. We're ready for KOH. We've got another podcast coming on February 8th that will be it'll actually be with a Wee Rock cone dodging team.
And they're also in daycare.
Yeah, they are in daycare. They're in daycare. They're kindergarten or first grade guys. And we will have their car in the studio. And then we're going to talk to their dad about who built it and how they built it and why they built it. It's Sub-Zero Racing. And we're going to have Thunderation in the shop. We're going to talk about safety. We're going to talk about how he built it. We're going to be doing all that stuff with them on February 8th is when that's coming. Next podcast we have slated will be with the owners of Crossbar Ranch, Crossbar Ranch is in Davis, Oklahoma, and they actually have a lot of things in the pipe right now.
They just built a new short course or something like that, I believe.
Yes.
I saw on Facebook.
Yeah, they just built a new short course. They're working on a lot of stuff. They're going to be here with one of their cars in the shop as well for our March episode. So we've got stuff in the pipe, guys. Everything's going well. All I need you guys to do is share this and, man, get it out there because we're one of the only podcasts that are video. Plus, we're doing a lot of stuff that is... it's niche market ultra four off-road stuff. So, man, thank you guys for hanging out. We're having a good time. We're enjoying it. Do you like the new podcasting setup, Seth?
I do. I feel more, I feel professional. Like I said earlier, I feel like I'm on like the Joe Rogan Experience or something.
Man, yeah. I wish this was the Joe Rogan. It'd be awesome.
Headphones, a mic in front of me. Like I feel like I should be talking about conspiracies and like cave diving or stuff. I say that, but I would much rather be talking about the best off-road racing around because it includes so many different disciplines, which is Ultra 4 and unlimited off-road racing.
Right. No, so it's cool. We're trying this all out. Let us know what you guys think about it. Thank you for hanging out with us. And this is Hitch and Seth saying see you on the trail.
See you.
We done.